Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today on Live Talk Diaspora Forum, we are talking about the South African government's white paper on citizenship, immigration and refugee protection, which is meant to overhaul the country's migration system for foreign nationals wishing to obtain residence and citizenship in that country. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. The United Nations is worried by the spreading of the cholera outbreak in Africa, which has now affected 10 countries, with the situation in Zambia and Zimbabwe caught very serious, according to the World Body. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare, where some independent health experts are urging the government to declare the waterborne disease a national disaster so that international aid agencies like WHO, UNICEF and USAID can chip in.
The regional health advisor for UNICEF in Eastern and Southern Africa says 10 countries on the continent have active cholera outbreaks, with about 200,000 reported cases and more than 3,000 lives taken by the waterborne disease. Of the 10 countries, Ethiopia, Mozambique, Tanzania, Somalia, Zambia, and Zimbabwe are in acute cholera crisis, Dr. Paul Ngwakum says.
Zambia and Zimbabwe are experiencing an exponential rise in the number of cases since the festive season. The key drivers are long-term poor water, sanitation and hygiene conditions, exacerbated by changing weather patterns, climate change leading to floods and droughts, end-of-year festivities, inadequate community sensitization, late care-seeking behavior for those that are affected. Children unfortunately carry the lion's share of the affected cases. For example, over 52% of the cases in Zambia are children less than 15 years old.
Ngwakum says Zambia and Zimbabwe are experiencing an exponential rise in the number of cases since the Christmas and New Year holidays, with 1,000 cholera cases reported a week in each of the neighboring countries.
The situation in Zambia and Zimbabwe is very serious. These two countries are the most affected in the region. In Zambia, 9 out of the 10 provinces are reporting cases. Another challenge is the high case fatality rate. 4% of the over 9,000 cases have died. This is extremely high because the acceptable threshold is below 1%. Since the beginning of 2024 alone, Zimbabwe has recorded over 17,000 cases, with about 384 deaths, case fatality rate also above 2%. And this continues to spread geographically.
In Zimbabwe, shortages of purified water are forcing residents to depend on open sources. That, along with uncollected refuse and running sewage, are being blamed for the waterborne disease. Douglas Mombeshora, Zimbabwe's health minister, says the central government is doing all it can to contain the outbreak. He says they are starting in the country's capital, Harare.
It is duty of government to intervene wherever they see things are not moving properly. If you move around the city of Harare, people are just dumping garbage in undesignated areas, and this has not been collected. So government has mobilized resources so that we clean up Harare, and government is moving in to mobilize resources to procure water treatment chemicals. Supply of potable water has dropped from 350 megaliters to 200 megaliters per day.
Itairu Sike, executive director of the Community Working Group on Health in Zimbabwe, has on social media called on the government to declare a national disaster so that international aid agencies like WHO, UNICEF and USAID can swiftly help to contain the cholera outbreak.
All measures to end cholera are within the purview of the government, central government or local government. by providing safe water, safe sanitation, and also hygienic waste disposal. So the buck stops with the government in making sure that people are provided with uninterrupted supply of potable water, refuse is collected on time, best sewer pipes are also fixed timeously, and the general public are given information about cholera guidelines and protocols.
UNICEF fears that if the outbreaks are not brought under control, it will mean schools closing, as in the case in Zambia, and children losing out on learning. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Harare.
The health of the economy often plays a big role in how Americans vote in general elections, including for the next president. This year, there are early signs that other issues are equally important to people as they prepare to cast their ballots in November. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias has the story from Washington.
President Joe Biden kicked off 2024 on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania, where he reminded Americans of the gains he says the U.S. economy has made under his leadership.
You look at the consumer confidence measures, they're way up. Look at across the board. Everybody's doing better, and they believe it. They know it.
There's no question that the U.S. economy has defied expectations by rebounding from the COVID-19 pandemic and remaining strong, says Assistant Professor of Economics at the George Washington University, Stephen Hamilton.
Inflation is down to sort of 3.1%, which, is less than half of what it was at its peak. Unemployment has remained near sort of 50-year lows at 3.7%. So that's a real achievement.
But whether the progress made so far will help get Biden reelected in November remains to be seen, Hamilton noted.
I think the big question leading into the election is, how quickly will wages rise and how quickly will inflation fall? And basically, will people start to feel the benefits before that date?
76% of U.S. adults see the economy as a top priority in 2024, according to a poll conducted last month by the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research. Tim Carter tends to vote Republican. This year, his main concern is immigration, but he's also critical of Biden's economic policies.
I don't think he's done as good as he says he has. And, as for the average American that's trying to make paychecks meet end to end, it's not. The inflation's way higher, and so your actual earnings have gone down.
Other voters interviewed in Washington's Adams Morgan neighborhood said abortion and foreign policy, rather than the economy, will determine how they will vote in November's general election.
To me, the social issues are the biggest factor, mainly Roe v. Wade. I like Nikki Haley's stance on it about, hey, let's be realistic about it. We're not going to get a nationwide abortion ban.
Ukrainian small business co-owner Anastasia Darun says her husband pays close attention to politicians' stances on international affairs, especially the ongoing war in her home country.
He understands that the Democratic Party helps Ukraine more and willing to help more. And we are sure there's a lot of Republicans who wants to help too. But so far we see that some deals are cutting off, and we do not know what to expect.
Although the economy is not the main reason why Elsa Abraham says she will vote for Biden, she praises the president's handling of the issue.
I think that the economy is only getting stronger. I think the interest rates will drop this year. I'm looking forward to that.
But economists caution that it is still uncertain if the Federal Reserve inflation target of 2% will be met or whether interest rates will need to be raised again ahead of the November election. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
Back to our main topic. The South African government is in the process of overhauling its immigration or its migration system for foreign nationals to obtain residence and citizenship in that country. Through the Department of Home Affairs, the government published a white paper on citizenship immigration and refugee protection that it says seeks to safeguard refugees and asylum seekers and ensures adherence to international migration agreements and protocols to which South Africa is a signatory. The department in November last year invited public comments with some organizations representing Zimbabweans in that country, submitting their input to the white paper. The process was supposed to close on January 19, 2024, but has been extended to end of this month. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today we are discussing the South African government's white paper on citizenship, immigration, and refugee protection, which is meant to overhaul that country's migration system for foreign nationals wishing to obtain residence and citizenship in that country. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Mr. Mabuto Mabena, who is the chairperson of the Zimbabwean community in South Africa, and Dr. Vusumuzi Siwanda, who is the chairperson of the African Diaspora Global Network. Welcome to our show, gentlemen.
Thank you so much, and greetings to the listeners.
Thank you so much. Let me start with you, Mr. Mabena. We understand your organization has already made submissions to the white paper. May you tell us more about this white paper, what it seeks to achieve from your understanding of it, and if you think it will help Zimbabweans in South Africa?
Well, we think that the white paper is presented by the Minister of Home Affairs. It does not really address the challenges that migrants face in South Africa. In fact, it is a departure from what we viewed as a progressive white paper on international migration, which was gazetted in 2017, because the one that was gazetted in 2017 realized or understood the reality that you have migrants, mainly from the SADC region, who come for the purposes of working, and that these are people often low skill. So the white paper in 2017, then it began to advocate for the management of migration itself and recognizing the people of low skill, accommodating them in the South African economy. That is your people that are in the domestic sector, construction and other sectors of the economy, people that are running small businesses, people that are doing cross-border trade, because you will know that in our economy in the SADC region is now mainly informal. Now, the white paper as presented by Minister Motsoaledi last year, it is a departure from that pan-Africanist approach that was taken in 2017 to recognize that South Africa is an African country that is in Africa. It has to give solidarity mainly to its neighbors who are going through economic challenges, because you do not have to blame the victims, but you need to begin to say, how do you give solidarity to the victims of economies that have collapsed. So if this white paper is going to be adopted as we think it is going to become law, it is going to make it difficult for migrants, mainly in the low-skilled other professionals, to work in South Africa. So you are going to have many people working undocumented, because it will be difficult for people to obtain legal documents to work in South Africa.
Thank you, Mr. Mabena. Dr. Swanda, have you studied the white paper? If yes, what's your position as an organization?
Yes, thank you very much. We have looked into, gone thoroughly, through the white paper. Our views are indeed, echoed in the sentiment that Mr. Mabena just said, and our views are basically that not only is South Africa departing from maybe what was the initial gazetted white paper, but South Africa is actually adopting a right-wing nationalist approach, where basically it is beginning to function along pressure groups like the Gula and the Put South Africa First, where there is a general belief that South Africa can live as an island. And it is now seeking to reconsider its ratification of the Refugee Convention, the Convention of 1951, because and the minister is seeking to be above the law, basically in the preamble to that, where he wants to make decisions that are not going to be challenged by the court, because one of the major issues that we see that the minister is complaining about is how the court has ruled against him. And this is South African law that we're talking about. So the minister is basically saying that he does not trust the courts because they're not ruling in his favor. And in fact, there is actually another ruling that came in. That was by the Lawyers for Human Rights, where there has been, this general trend where the minister has been, cancelling IDs, for people that they, assume or think that they are not, they are fraudulently obtained, to the extent that about 1.8 million have been reactivated and 700,000 still remain, but the judgment has actually ordered that all those IDs be unblocked and the proper administrative process, which is in line with the PAJA, is actually followed. So we are seeing a departure from the department, from the other ministers that were before this current minister. This minister is coming in and he wants to oust, all migrants, from South Africa. I think his mentality is not too different from that of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mabena, we understand that this white paper seeks to also aid South Africa to temporarily leave or drop agreements that has been signed on the asylum and refugees, the 1951 and the 1967 UETA protocol relating to the status of refugees. Where does this leave Zimbabweans who are flocking to South Africa to seek refugee status or seek asylum?
Well, it's going to be difficult because they propose that, for one, if you are coming in South Africa as an asylum seeker, you have to be kept in what they call a facility at the port of entry, where your application is processed. If your claim is found to be not correct, you are then sent home. But we know that the majority of the people that are coming in are people that are basically coming to work are economic victims. Yes, you still have a high number of people that are political victims. But in between elections, many people that you are receiving are people that are here for economic purposes. This is why we still defend those that were granted a special permit in 2010, because the majority of those are people of low skill and also professionals whose qualifications do not fall under critical skills. So it is going to be difficult for one to apply for an asylum document. It is going to be difficult for one, if you are already on any other visa, to even qualify for a permanent residence permit. This is obviously going to affect many families.
Dr. Swanda, I'm going to throw this question to you in Shona. Vana veZimbabwe vari muSouth Africa vari kunzwisisa here zviri kudiwa nairo riri kunzi white paper kana kuti neurongwa hwekuti vange South Africa inge ichiwandudza mitemo inobata vapoteri nevanhu vari kuda kunge vachizoita zvizvarwa zvenyika iyoyo nekuti vakawanda vanogona kunge vari kutambira vachinzwa kuti pane zviri kugadziriswa asi vachitadza kunzwisisa zviri mukati anganzi muchirungu mabhii madiki aya ekuti vanzwisise kuti zvichavabatsira here nemutoo upi.
Chovandi chekuti vazhinji havanzwisisi kuti white paper iyi chii chairi kuunza nekuti ruzhinji rwavo harisi kunyakotsvakurudza kuti uone kuti kochii chakanyorwa mumabepa aya. Vari kungofunga kuti aiwa sezvo tanga tine maZPP ndo patiko takabatirawo ipapo mutemo uchatichengetedza hurumende aizosviki pakutitorera. Asi uyezve vana vezimbabwe vazhinji vagarira mukutambura kwekuti sezvo tiri munyika iyo inei tiri nyika yedu tichangoonawo kuti kana tangopedzerwa mapepa iwaya tichange tichangogara tisina mapepa nekuti hakuna kuri nani kwavari kuti vaende nekuti machemero ndokuti munhu vanogona kuwana izvozvo zvibasa zvitikitiki zvinoedza kuzvinoita kuti vagone kuraramisa mhuri dzavo. Saka kana zvitaura nyaya newhite paper vazhinji vacho kuti vagone because kuti uri wane ndezvekuti unge wagonawo kuti ite sei uindewo kuintaneti kwacho kana kuti vari wanawo online parinodhaunlodwa. Asi vazhinji vacho kuti vasvikirirewo ipapo uye vazoenda kuverenga mapeji acho anosvika 170 kuti vanzwise kuti tiri kutaurwa apa uye nemanyorero aya akaitwawo chero white paper racho sezvo tichitaura iko zvino tinoona kuti mongo chaiwo chaiwo watingati white paper zvarinoda kutaura ndezvipi because harina kunyambotaura chaizvo zvarinokuda asi kuti toda kuti tiona kuti maybe tingabuda zvakare matakapinda umu uye tiona kuti immigration act refugees act necitizenship act neborder management act dzinenge dziri kufambisana munye saka toda kuchinja ipapo hapana chokwadi. Saka vanhu vazhinji havasi kunyatsonzwisisa kuti chaizvo chaizvo white paper iyi zvairoda kutaura ndezvipi nekuti hapana zvayakataura pane zvizhinji zvakataurwa zvoda kuchinjwa pakufambidzina kwekuwanana kwevanhu uye kuti vaone ugari hwemuno munyika ino kana kuti vave vana vepano asi hazvina kutaurwa mumapepa imomo. Saka havana kunyatsotaura chairo chaicho chaicho chavari kuda kuita asi kuti vangoti varida kubatanidza maepu ayaya amanani.
Mr. Mabena, you said that this is going to make it tougher for foreigners living in South Africa. Do you see in the future, if the white paper is adopted, a drop in illegal immigrants in South Africa?
No, it's not going to happen because you have more people that work undocumented, people of low skill in the construction industry and the other sectors of the economy. We are going to make life difficult for even migrants because if you are not documented, you are faced with the challenge of even operating a bank account, for instance, where people then ask relatives to open their bank accounts. And we know that the employers prefer people of migrants to work as domestic workers, to work in the other sectors of the economy for the purposes of exploiting them because it's difficult for an undocumented person to go to the labor court or to go to CCMA to demand that the employer respect worker rights, that the worker is paid a minimum wage. So this is not going to stop anything. We have seen in the past the farm workers that have been exploited even during the apartheid. Farm workers were being arrested on the day they were supposed to receive their salary. So you are going to see a lot of exploitation of workers because they do not have, in their eyes, a legal right to confront the employer because they will simply be told that the police van is going to be called or immigration officials are going to be called in.
Dr. Suanda, are you sure that the South African government will consider all the inputs from organizations representing foreigners in South Africa, or this just a ploy to hoodwink foreigners to think that their submissions are being considered, yet the final result will be different?
Well, look, if history is anything to go by, we know that during the deputy, when there was a need to consult widely, the foreigners that used the exemption permit, the government of South Africa did not really consider anything at all. you know, that was contributed by the migrant community. Now, in this particular instance, the government has actually made a disclaimer already to say, we know there are many organizations that purport to represent people, yet they do not represent people. So we want, you know, to make sure that only those that represent people are going to be or they're not in the organization that are fighting government. So already, that tells us what is going to happen. That a lot of the input that is going to come, and some of those were actually targeting big organizations.
Thank you,
Dr. Kwanda. Democracy and constitutional.
Sorry for cutting you short. Just please do stay on the line. Let's take our first caller, then I'll come back to you, Dr. Kwanda. Sorry for that. Hello? I think we've lost our first caller. Hello? Yes, we dropped the first caller.
Yes,
dropped.
Hello?
Continue, Dr. Kwanda.
Yes, so I was saying, in that regard, we can see that the whole idea was basically to attack organizations like, the Helen Suzman Foundation, which organizations, you know, basically were, you know, trying to consider, you know, the plight of migrants in the ZTP, you know, furore or legal battle. So we are very sure and convinced that a lot of the input that is going to come from migrant organizations is not going to be considered because they are not considered to be South African. And this is the attitude that we have seen, you know, from the Minister of Home Affairs, that, you know, migrants are not seen to be allowed to have any voice, you know, in the country. So it is just farcical that those, you know, inputs should be put in. Mm-hmm. But they will not be considered. That is our genuine, you know, view of this whole process.
Thank you so much. Do stay on the line, Dr. Kwanda. Mr. Mabena, elections are around the corner in South Africa, and the issue of illegal immigrants flocking into South Africa is a topical issue with most of the political parties expected to contest in the elections, taking a part or playing a part in the process of getting rid or ridding South Africa of illegal immigrants. Do you see this this white paper issue being part of the election campaigning by the government or electioneering?
It is indeed in response to the loss of the ANC losing key metros in 2021 local government elections, because if you go through this white paper, you are basically reading a paper that was presented at the ANC conference by a commission that deals with the issues of migration. So there is nothing much that is different from what was presented by the ANC. So the ANC believes that the reason why it lost key metros is because it is perceived by some organizations that it is lenient when it comes to the question of migration. So it then tries to adopt some what might be seen as a radical position, and this white paper is the answer to this. But of course, the election is not going to be really based on the question of migration. You have much important issues like load shedding, which is affecting the South African economy. People are losing jobs. So we do not think.
Thank you. Let's hear from Dr. Kwanda. What's your take on the elections that are coming? Our time is running out. Dr. Kwanda.
Yes, what was that question again?
I was asking your take on the issue of elections that are coming. If you look at the white paper, what do you think about that?
Well, look, so starting from 2015, organizations that appeared, and in 2015,
wow,
the Democratic Alliance was one of those organizations.
Our time is up. Sorry, Dr. Kwanda, our time is up. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you to Dr. Vusumuzi Kwanda and Mr. Ngabuto Mabena, who are both based in South Africa. Signing off in Washington, this is Jonga Kandemiri.